사드 배치 찬성합니다. 사드는 미국으로, 평화는 미국으로, 우리는 한다. 사드는 미국으로, 사드는 미국으로. 사드 배치 평화는
사드 사드 배치 발사 반대.
No to THAAD deployment. Send THAAD to the U.S. Bring peace to this land. No THAAD deployment. Those are the voices of Sungju and Kimchan residents in South Korea fighting the U.S. THAAD missile defense system. The South Korean corporation Lotte just reached a decision to hand over a golf course it owns in a town called Sungju in North Gyeongsang Province to the South Korean Defense Ministry, which will in turn hand it over to the USFK, or the United States Forces Korea. The USFK will then turn the golf course into the deployment site for its highly controversial Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, aka THAAD Missile Defense System. What is at stake for the residents of Sungju who don't want this weapon station in their town and have been fighting against the THAAD deployment since last July? And what are the broader geopolitical interests at play surrounding this issue? We'll get into all that and more in this episode of Zoom in Korea's podcast. I'm Julian Cho.
And I'm Hyun Lee. Thanks to our audience and supporters who made it possible for us to launch Zoom in Korea last year. Zoom in Korea is an online resource that provides news and analysis related to Korea, particularly the fight for democracy in South Korea, as well as peace and reunification of the Korean Peninsula. We hope to bring you more timely news and diverse content this year. And as part of that, we're trying out something new. This is Zoom in Korea's pilot podcast. So after you listen, we need your critical feedback. So please send us comments in the comment section, or you can email us at zoominkorea@gmail.com.
The THAAD issue is highly controversial in South Korea right now, but it's hardly known here in the U.S. So what exactly is THAAD?
THAAD stands for Terminal High Altitude Area Defense. It's part of the broader U.S. Missile Defense Network. The THAAD system consists of a radar, which is used to surveil the missile activity of so-called enemy countries and detect any incoming missiles. Also, it consists of an interceptor missile, which presumably can be launched from the ground to shoot down an incoming missile in mid-air. The U.S. has these missile defense systems all around the world, mainly in Eastern Europe and Asia. And it's clear from their locations. I wish we could show our listeners a map. If you look at the map of where U.S. missile defense systems are located, it is very clear that this is about creating a network of missile defense systems surrounding China and Russia.
The U.S. and South Korean governments announced last July that they want to deploy the THAAD system in Sungju, which is in North Gyeongsang Province, in the southeastern part of South Korea. Then in September, because of staunch opposition from the residents of Sungju, they changed the site to the Lotte Golf Course, which is between Sungju and nearby Kimchan City. Why did they want to deploy it in South Korea?
I think the location of Sungju, South Korea, is strategic for the U.S. for mainly two reasons. Number one is that if the THAAD radar is stationed there, it significantly expands the U.S. field of vision to spy on Chinese missile activity. And for that reason, China has been very much opposed to the THAAD deployment in South Korea. The second reason is that the THAAD interceptor, if it's deployed in Sungju, can effectively shoot down North Korean mid- to long-range missiles that are potentially headed for U.S. bases in Japan and Guam.
The South Korean Defense Ministry claims that the THAAD system is necessary to protect South Koreans from the so-called threat of North Korean missiles. What do we think about this claim?
According to Dr. J.J. Saw, who is a professor of politics and international affairs at International Christian University in Japan, The aim of deploying the THAAD system in Sungju is not about protecting South Korean citizens at all.
THAAD actually would not work to defend South Korea because this system is designed to work at higher altitude, higher than 45 kilometers. But most of North Korean missiles are short-range missiles that would fly below 45 kilometers. And so THAAD will be ineffective against most of North Korean short-range missiles. Furthermore, THAAD will be deployed if the plan proceeds in Sungju, which is south of Seoul. And since Sungju is far from Seoul, it would not be able to protect Seoul, the capital city, the most populous city. And so, you know, even if that works, it would not, it would leave out those most populous and the most important politically and military place in South Korea. So, from the South Koreans' perspective, that just doesn't make sense. But that can also be used for defending the region of Northeast Asia. And if that is deployed in the middle of South Korea, Sungju, and it can be effectively deployed against intermediate range missiles fired from North Korea, targeted at Okinawa, points in Japan, or Guam. And so it's more plausible that the U.S. military wants to deploy that system in South Korea to protect its soldiers and the military assets in the region rather than South Koreans in South Korea.
But it's the South Korean people who will end up bearing the burden of hosting the THAAD system. So is that why they are opposed?
The residents of Sungju are opposed to it for several reasons. Sungju is a small agricultural region. Most of the residents are elderly farmers. They're very traditional, historically conservative. They had voted all their lives for the Conservative Party. They voted for the current, soon-to-be-impeached President Park Geun-hye. When the government announced Sungju as the deployment site without any consultation with the residents, they felt betrayed. And when they protested, the pro-government media labeled them as North Korean sympathizers or paid outside agitators. This really upset the residents. It's the total disrespect of their democratic rights as citizens that was the major reason why so many of them initially joined the protest last July. The residents are also concerned about the radioactive waves potentially emitted by the THAAD radar and the damage that might cause for their health and their crops. Sungju is very well known for its melons. Melon production is the main source of livelihood for the majority of the farmers there, and they are understandably concerned about the long-term effects of having the radar so close to their melon fields.
Missile defense expert and MIT professor Ted Postol says the THAAD will put South Korea in the crosshairs in a potential conflict between the U.S. and China.
Yeah. And he says China will consider the radar's deployment to South Korea as a hostile act by South Korea against China. So it has a significant negative impact on South Korean and Chinese relations. We are seeing reports now, just this week, right after Lotte handed over the land, the golf course, to the defense ministry, and now they're moving forward with the THAAD deployment. China is retaliating very heavily against the Lotte Corporation, its retail stores based in China. China is also threatening to put pressure on Samsung and other South Korean corporations doing business in China. And also, Professor Postol says that in the event of a confrontation between China and the U.S., China's first target for a nuclear strike could be the THAAD radar that's based in Sungju.
And the residents in Sungju, they've been protesting every day since the announcement that was made in July. they've been protesting against the THAAD for 200 days straight. Oh, more than 200 days straight. What does this opposition look like exactly?
The Sungju residents continue to oppose the THAAD deployment, even though the deployment site was changed. They've always said they're not just about keeping it out of their own backyard. They're saying no THAAD anywhere. They're joined by the residents of Kimchan City, which is right next to the Lotte Golf Course. They each have their task force to oppose THAAD, and they work together. They are also joined by the One Buddhists, who are also organized against THAAD. The birthplace of their second highest leader is near the deployment site. They consider the THAAD deployment a desecration of their sacred site. There's also a national task force that's composed of peace, anti-war, and other civil society organizations. So all these forces are working together in collaboration to oppose the THAAD deployment.
The people at the forefront of this fight are ordinary farmers, mostly women, who have never done anything like this before. Many of them have never been in protest, let alone protest the government officials that they voted for. And now they're leading rallies. They're protesting all over the nation in different regions.
Mm-hmm, that's right. We had a chance to talk to some of them recently over Skype. We spoke with them about what moved them to actively protest the THAAD deployment, and also what it's been like to organize and lead the fight, especially as women. Let's listen to a part of that conversation. Here's Lee Haegyeong from Sungju, followed by Kim Jong from Kimchan.
At first we asked, this is a residential area. Why would they put that here? Right in front of our noses. There are children here. There are schools here. Why do they have to put it here? There was no explanation from the government. There was no one around us who knew anything. They just suddenly announced they will put it here. So what could we do? We didn't know anything, but we were curious. We have to protect the place of our livelihood, so what could we do? We have to come out to protest. We have to protect our land for our children.
How I got involved in the fight against THAAD. First, we studied the THAAD system. And I realized not only is THAAD something we don't need, but it can ruin our livelihood. So without hesitation, I joined the anti-THAAD struggle. The THAAD issue doesn't just concern one individual or even one region, but it's an issue that concerns our whole country as well as Japan, US, China, and Russia comprehensively. So naturally, I became interested in the politics that are inextricably linked to the issue. Through this struggle, I was reminded that politics is personal. And the grandmas and grandpas who come out to the candlelight protests, I felt a responsibility to protect their community. That's why I participate in the protest.
These things, rallies and such, I had never done this before in my life. I believed that politics had nothing to do with me. All I have to do is vote for someone who can represent my region or country, and that's it. I was the type of person who thought this way. And whatever the government or the media said, I believed everything, unconditionally. But now, that's all changed. Nowadays, my perspective on everything has changed a lot. I try to find news and reports that are more accurate. I have also gained a lot more interest in politics. I no longer think my deed is done after voting someone in. I have to watch closely what they do. This is what I think now.
That was Yi Hye-kyung from Sangju and Kim Jong from Gimchan. They're two of the leading women in the fight against the THAAD deployment. We'll go to a quick break, then talk about the U.S. pivot to Asia, the Trilateral Alliance, and more when we return. We oppose the THAAD system. That is one of the main anthems of the South Korean people's struggle against the THAAD missile system. Welcome back to Zoom in Korea's pilot podcast on the THAAD missile system. It sounds like the residents of Sangju and Gimchan suddenly found themselves on the front lines of this fight against U.S. missile defense, and their political consciousness went through rapid transformation. What is their view of the broader political context surrounding the THAAD deployment?
It was clear from our conversation that the women in Sangju and Gimchan see through what the Pentagon is scheming in the region. They're very well aware of the broader implications of the THAAD deployment and how missile defense serves U.S. hegemonic interests in the region. Here's Yoon Kum-sun. She is a farmer leader and a resident of Sangju.
We see the THAAD deployment as central to the U.S.'s pivot to Asia and its plan for hegemony in Asia. I believe that South Korea is being used in the U.S.'s pursuit of the ROK-Japan-U.S. Trilateral Alliance. And its strategy to contain China. As long as our country does not have an autonomous position and can pursue effective foreign policy, the regional conflict will only worsen and we will experience extreme difficulties. We have no choice but to end this cycle. We need to make this into an opportunity for us to obtain lasting peace on the Korean Peninsula and stand as an autonomous nation state with our own foreign policy.
That was Yoon Kum-sun, who lives in Sangju and was the former national chairperson of the Korean Women Peasants Association. She just mentioned two key things that we should probably break down for our listeners, which is the U.S. pivot to Asia and the Trilateral Alliance.
Yeah. The U.S. pivot to Asia, which is also known as the rebalance to Asia, was a key doctrine of the Obama administration, championed by Hillary Clinton during her time as the Secretary of State. The idea was for the U.S. to shift its attention, both in terms of military resources, particularly the Navy, and also diplomatic efforts away from Europe and the Middle East to the Asia-Pacific region.
And what was the impetus for this shift?
Well, you'll remember that in the beginning of the Obama administration, we were in the middle of a global economic recession, from which arguably we still have not fully recovered. And in order to breathe life back into the ailing economy, the U.S. looked across the Pacific and saw Asia as a vast continent of opportunities. The U.S. wanted to make sure that it establishes itself as a political and economic leader in the region, and also curtail China's rise as a regional powerhouse. So the U.S. felt it was necessary to increase its military presence in the region, and also the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, was part of the pivot. The main goal of the TPP was to create a regional economic arrangement that would impose on the region Western or neoliberal rules of trade that would be favorable to U.S. and Western corporate interests.
Okay, but the TPP, at least for now, we know is dead in the water. Trump recently signed an executive order backing the U.S. out of the deal.
And as far as military presence goes, we know that the U.S. has always had military presence in Asia, but it hasn't necessarily increased significantly. Is that true?
Yes. The U.S. no longer has the resources to be a hegemonic power in all parts of the globe all at once. It's still too bogged down in the Middle East to shift effectively to another region. So what it has to do is rely on its allies in the region to safeguard its strategic interests. And that's where the conflicts in the South China Sea comes in. The U.S. actually fans territorial disputes between China and the smaller neighboring countries in order to get these countries on the U.S. side against China.
But what about the trilateral alliance, including the U.S., Japan, and South Korea?
Yeah, so South Korea and Japan have been key historical allies for the U.S., and it has been a priority for the U.S. to get the two countries, Korea and Japan, to work more closely together, especially militarily, to counter China, Russia, and North Korea. But of course, South Korea and Japan have unresolved historical issues going way back to Japan's colonial past and its war crimes during World War II, most notably the conscription of young women as sexual slaves, better known as comfort women, for the Japanese Imperial Army. Japan still refuses to formally apologize and take legal responsibility for that. This has been the source of deep-seated resentment against Japan among many South Koreans across the political spectrum. So the idea of military cooperation with Japan, while Japan still refuses to apologize for its past war crimes, this is an idea that is outrageous to many Koreans.
Right, and the fight for justice for the comfort women will be the topic for our next episode. But another key part of the trilateral alliance is military cooperation on missile defense.
Yeah. The U.S. wants the three countries to cooperate in sharing military intelligence. The U.S. already has missile defense radars in Japan that can detect missiles potentially launched by China or North Korea. And Japan sends this information to a U.S. command center where it can launch interceptors to shoot down the incoming missiles. It wants South Korea to do the same thing. Last November, even as millions of South Koreans were taking to the streets calling for Park Geun-hye's ouster, and her approval rating had dropped to 3%, even still, in the midst of all of that, Park Geun-hye's administration, at the behest of the U.S., signed what's called the General Security of Military Information Agreement, also known as JISOMIA, with Japan. And this agreement means the two countries will share military intelligence.
And we're going to hear from Ham Soo-yeon, a resident of Gimcheon, now talking about how THAAD will only exacerbate tensions in the region.
If the THAAD is deployed, it will most certainly create more tension between North and South Korea. Tensions will likely rise. And the arena for discussions on peace or reunification will become narrower. Especially in the case of the North, they have the THAAD as an excuse to say that they have no choice but to develop more nukes. In the case of the South, they are using North Korean nukes as an excuse to import more weapons. Even now it claims that it will import more weapons. The THAAD issue puts us in the middle of the U.S.'s pursuit of hegemony, which will only lead to more heightened tensions and significantly higher military spending. Of course, we see us getting farther away from improvements in North-South relations, and the road to reunification becomes longer.
And we'll hear from Kim Jong again, the resident of Gimcheon.
It's not just the THAAD issue. Our country prioritizes the U.S.-ROK alliance. Our country's politicians use the framework of security, especially in situations where they are at a political disadvantage. They use the threat of North Korea, making it out to be bigger than it actually is, to keep their regime in power. If this continues, Even if, through long struggle, we are able to reverse the THAAD decision, there could be another so-called THAAD. Yes, another issue that ignores the interests of their own citizens. Why? Because they always have the so-called threat of North Korea to use as justification. To them, they always have North Korea, about which we have yet to fully understand. So a new THAAD will come. The U.S. has its own interests and will use the South Korean government to pursue hegemony or profits for its military industry. And our country will perpetually play the role of a pushover. The political situation in our country needs to be flipped around. If you look at the U.S.-ROK alliance, an alliance is supposed to be maintained through an equal relationship. But for over 60 years, the alliance has been based on our subordination. It has never been a genuine alliance. A more autonomous government needs to take over to deal with our problems. The problems between the North and South should be resolved with our own strength, creatively. I personally think that we should resolve our problems ourselves in creative ways.
Let's take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about why missile defense is actually missile offense.
We want peace, no missile defense. We want peace, no missile defense. We want peace, no missile defense. We want peace,
not for missile. Fighting for
jobs, not for missile.
Fighting for schools,
not for missile.
Fighting for peace,
not for missile.
You're listening to Zoom in Korea. This is our pilot podcast on the U.S. THAAD deployment in South Korea. It's been said that missile defense is actually offensive because it gives the U.S. first strike capability. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, if two adversarial countries, for example, U.S. and Russia during the Cold War, if both countries have nuclear weapons, neither will attack the other because it fears retaliation in the form of a nuclear counterattack. This is called mutually assured destruction, and it was an effective form of deterrence during the Cold War. But if you can eliminate the enemy's ability to retaliate, then nothing deters you from attacking it with your nuclear weapon, i.e. first strike. And this is the ultimate aim of missile defense, because having the ability to detect and intercept the enemy's nuclear weapon, that means you neutralize the enemy's ability to retaliate. And this gives you strategic advantage.
And I'm assuming that's precisely why China and Russia are so opposed to U.S. missile defense.
That's right. U.S. missile defense is destabilizing because it makes first nuclear strike possible. And that is also why in 1972, the U.S. and Russia signed the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, also known as the ABM Treaty. This limited both countries from developing missile defense systems. Here's Ray McGovern. He's a former CIA analyst turned anti-war activist. He was actually present at the signing of the ABM Treaty.
In 1972 in Moscow, when the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty was signed, I had the privilege of being there. It was a major event, and it made sure that each side realized that they could not make a missile attack on the other without suffering a crippling blow in retaliation. So the ABM missile systems were limited initially to two sites in each country, hardly enough to give nationwide protection, and then reduced to one site. Fast forward to 2001, when President Bush comes into office and he says, "I'm getting out of the ABM treaty." That was a key moment in the strategic equation, because the ABM treaty was the main source for strategic stability. The U.S. started building missile defense systems, and they surrounded Russia with these missile defense systems. And the Russians were understandably very concerned about how this would change the equation. Now, the first thing I would say is that money is involved. The anti-ballistic missile system, which most people say will not work, is an incredibly, what should we say, a corporate welfare system. Billions and billions and billions of dollars are sunk into this for what? Well, to keep the corporations happy, to do what Eisenhower warned against, the military-industrial complex business.
And we should note that China, Russia, and North Korea have all declared a policy of no first use, which means they will not use their nuclear weapons offensively. But the U.S. has not done the same, which means it reserves the right of preemptive strike.
You know, but as destabilizing as U.S. missile defense is, we should also know that many experts have pointed out that the THAAD system has not been proven to work. Professor Ted Postol at MIT, who has been a vocal critic of U.S. THAAD deployment in Korea, has said that other countries can very easily evade the THAAD system by using what's called decoys when launching missiles. So they can launch several fake missiles along with the real one. They all shoot out in different directions all at once to confuse the THAAD system. And the THAAD system would have a hard time discerning and honing in on the real missile.
And yet the U.S. and South Korean taxpayers are being asked to pay for this ineffective system. Which begs the question, how much does it cost and who's paying?
One THAAD unit costs $1.3 billion. The Pentagon plans to deploy a THAAD unit that's currently based in Texas to South Korea. And the U.S. will presumably absorb the cost associated with the deployment. But there is also the annual operation cost, which amounts to $22 million a year. And neither the South Korean or the U.S. government has said who's going to foot that bill. We know that Trump has said he wants allies to pay more for hosting U.S. troops. So this issue of who will actually pay for the ongoing operation and maintenance costs of the THAAD system will likely become a hot-button issue in the next negotiation on defense burden sharing between U.S. and South Korea.
Okay, let's talk about South Korea's political crisis. How does that affect the THAAD deployment? Right now, the Constitutional Court is deliberating South Korean President Park Geun-hye's impeachment. They're expected to deliver a ruling next week. If she is impeached, there will be a new presidential election probably in May. Does this have any bearing on the THAAD deployment?
That's precisely why the Pentagon has been so aggressive in pushing this forward, because it wants to get this done before a major political change in South Korea, which could potentially be a roadblock for them. And this is also why the opposition strategy has been to delay the deployment as long as possible, and in the meantime, pressure the opposition parties and the leading opposition candidates in the presidential election to commit to reversing the deployment decision if and when they are in power. Here's Ham Soo-yeon again talking about this.
The current position of the Minju Party is to delay the THAAD deployment and hand it over to the next administration. But Kim Chun, Songju, and One Buddhists feel if we don't block it now, it will be too late. So on January 11, we headed to the Minju Party's headquarters to protest the party for 13 days while also participating in candlelight actions every night. Why is this important right now? Since the Saenuri Party split, we now have a five-party system. And the Minju Party became the number one party with the most seats in the National Assembly. Our demand was this. In order to stop the forced deployment of the THAAD by the Park administration and put pressure on the ruling party, the main opposition Minju Party should adopt as its official party platform the withdrawal of the THAAD deployment decision. The majority party should adopt that as their platform, and the THAAD decision should go through the National Assembly. We thought this approach is the most correct and effective. That's why we began putting pressure on the Minju Party. On January 23rd, as the provisional session of the National Assembly concluded, we met with several Minju Party representatives, including the chairperson Chu Mie. The general response of the Minju Party was lukewarm, or should I say vague. Of course, there are individual lawmakers within the Minju Party who say the THAAD decision needs to be rescinded no matter what. But they said it's not certain, so it's uncomfortable and difficult. As a person in the anti-THAAD struggle, especially as a woman, what can we do moving forward? This is my concern.
I think that it is very important that this issue go through the National Assembly. Since the president faces impeachment, there are campaigns to pressure presidential candidates to come out against the THAAD decision. But if construction eventually begins, the environmental impact report has been omitted or only the minimal has been completed, and the defense ministry is haphazardly pushing this through. If construction begins, we have no choice but to go to the construction site to block the entry of things like materials, tools, and prevent the beginning stages of the construction process. The residents are fully aware that it may come to that.
Blocking entrance roads. Blocking entrance roads with tractors.
We saw reports this week that as soon as Lotte handed over the golf course to the defense ministry, the South Korean military blocked all roads leading to the golf course and started building a barbed wire fence around the site.
Yeah, this is all taking place without any consultation with the residents who live in the area. One morning, they woke up and suddenly they saw hundreds of police officers and military personnel surrounding the golf course, taking over their town, building a barbed wire fence, blocking all roads leading to the golf course. So the residents, as Ham Soo-yeon mentioned earlier, may soon have no other choice but to do whatever it takes to physically block construction. The women of Sungju and Kimcheon are appealing for international solidarity, especially from women in the United States. Here's Yoon Kim-sun again, followed by Ham Soo-yeon.
Women are in the front lines of the struggle for peace in the Northeast Asia region and the world. But more people, not just women, need to engage in this kind of struggle. Even though all of the opposition parties, except the Minju Party, have come out in opposition to the THAAD as their official party stance, the important presidential candidates are being indecisive and not revealing their positions because at the core is the issue of national public sentiment. In reality, the public sentiment against THAAD is not that high right now. We need to be more active in raising public consciousness and raising international consciousness. Highlighting women's efforts could make the struggle more relatable to more people. I hope we can show how important this is not only for the Korean Peninsula, but also for global peace. And I hope that this becomes an opportunity through which women become stronger.
If we can generate messaging that says, we cannot achieve peace with weapons. If we want peace, it needs to be through dialogue. The U.S. needs to engage in peace talks with North Korea. We should also have picket signs that communicate this. Wouldn't that be nice? It just occurred to me last night. A powerful country like the U.S. cannot wish freedom and peace for only its own country, in my opinion. The U.S. is always talking about North Korea's nukes. But in reality, the U.S. has the most nuclear weapons and has conducted the most nuclear tests. Peace is the way to go. If it wants peace for its own country, most certainly it has to want peace for other countries. Isn't this a much better way to go? This is what I think.
So where can people get more information on this issue and how to get involved?
The Task Force to Stop THAAD Deployment in Korea and Militarism in Asia and the Pacific is a coalition of Korean Americans and allies such as Veterans for Peace. Folks can go to stopthad.org or find us on Facebook, Stop THAAD.
That does it for this episode one of Zoom in Korea's podcast. Look out for our next episode coming your way soon, which will be on the fight for justice for comfort women. I'm Julian Cho with my co-host Hyun Lee. This is Zoom in Korea, bringing you timely updates and critical analysis of peace and democracy on the Korean Peninsula. If you like this episode and want more, please leave us a comment and subscribe to our mailing list on zoominkorea.org. And be sure to like us also on Facebook.
And lastly, members of the Task Force to Stop THAAD deployment in Korea joined the protest against Trump on the day of his inauguration in Washington, D.C. New York City activist Danny Kim talked about why we should oppose THAAD in spoken word. So let's go out on that.
War machine from Iraq to Korea to the Philippines. Stop the U.S. war machine from Iraq to Korea to the Philippines. Address to the Empire USA. Not so long ago in a country far but not that far away, the one you historically designed to refer to as ROK or Republic of Korea, aka South Korea, you devised a new diabolical ploy to deploy a dangerous war machine able to destroy the land of peace-loving farmers, workers, and children. But our people, the people of Sungju County, the people of Gimcheon City, defenders of true peace, lighting the flames of resistance, rebellion, revolution, fighting nonstop to take out all your puppet trash and corruption in the form of a right-wing administration. Young and old walking hand in hand, struggle in the street to complete the nothing but the utter downfall and defeat of abuse and deceit. The people have spoken for an all-new democratic people's government, not overseen by a foreign power, puppeteering from afar in your ivory tower. Why can't you see the waves of candlelight from Sungju and Gimcheon shining bright to protect the peace they carry on the fight so that your war machine plan is no longer in sight? The movement against THAAD is not just a fad. It started from the hot days through the cold unfazed, from tending to the melon fields, now standing up to the missile shield while your cronies making backdoor deals. The people struggles out there still. We know whose interests you want to protect. We know how you want to control and affect the region to keep an eye and detect activities of your rivals. In effect, if we dissect to peel off the skin of your Asia pivot, we learn that it only continues to perpetually reject the sovereignty of our people. While the security measure you boast and project its ability to defend and prevent more war and rising military conflict, it only has the opposite effect.
But is that not your intent? We know about your rocket science. We did the math and the science. Yes, studies show that THAAD is not for defense. So we vocalize nothing but the truth and defiance. Don't deny because we know the system is for offense. And your grand trilateral military alliance, tying countries up, conditioning them in reliance under U.S. nuke umbrella missile defense system. Our people's land is not your weapon station for you to test and profit off your missile operation. What you think it is, the Empire's Death Star? If it is, you best be ready because people power ain't too far. The force of the Rebel Alliance, self-reliant workers, farmers, students, the underdog, spirit of the one Buddhist, and the anti-war peace activists coming at you strong. So in solidarity, we lift our voices high. Stop the U.S. war machine from Iraq to Korea to the Philippines. Stop the U.S. war machine from Iraq to the Philippines.